The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. Today is our fourth part in a series of four, talking about the myths and fallacies of the proposed charter revision that will be on the ballot on Tuesday, November 6th. And I just want to apologize again to those who listen to us. We are sticking with our charter format. This is our fourth week. Most people are not fully engaged in what is going on. They've done a really poor job in informing the public of what this reformed charter is going to be all about. So we felt, Pat and I decided that we're going to have to take the lead and inform the public and what's going on. So that's why this is the fourth part. Election's over next Tuesday. So
thank God.
Thank God. I know. Every year.
Wednesday's a good day for everybody.
It's the same thing. You know,
we got to go pick up lawn signs.
That's right. Yeah. Morning, Pat.
Hey, Rick, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I saw the Yankees sign Brett Gardner.
Yes.
Congratulations to all those Red Sox fans because yeah. They won the World Series. Well-deserved.
Yeah, and they're going to be losing a bunch of free agents,
really?
I guess. Yeah, a couple of them, David Price and Eduardo Nunez, have said that they're going to stay with the Red Sox. But there's about six or seven of them that are going to hit free agency. Yeah. So next year, the Boston Red Sox are going to suck, and the Yankees will do nothing but improve. So, we'll wish them well. And sure. They did an awesome job. But I think it was the first time in baseball history that there were four 100 and over sure. game winners. Yeah. And this year, the Yankees didn't go out and spend a lot of money.
Right.
So, exciting baseball season. And another sad note that the Dodgers re-signed Kershaw for
3 years.
For 100 and
$55 million.
Yeah, which
I'm guessing too. I don't.
I was kind of hoping that the Yankees would put a bid in for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 1 year to go.
See, Rick, my big, if you could get, what do you want for Christmas? I want Mike Trout in the Yankees uniform.
I would like Mike Trout, and I would like Skarsgård from the Yankees or the Mets. Those are the two players that I would really like.
Yeah. There's a young pitcher that I can't remember his name. I say young. I mean, in pitching terms, he's not necessarily as young. He's, I think, in his late 20s. But apparently, I forget who he's playing for now. It was a West Coast team that maybe even a National League team that I just don't remember who it was. But I was reading about him, and the people that were writing about him were really excited about him.
Sure.
And they said that he grew up as a Yankee fan. He's a free agent this year. And they said it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to the
Yankees. Oh, really?
So I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, and they got one in the system. It's supposed to be phenomenal, that Sheffield.
Yeah.
They're kind of protecting him a lot.
I mean,
they've got a blanket over him. They won't even let anybody see the kid. Yeah. He's so good. But, the funniest thing that happened to me this baseball season was, I forgot what team, Tampa Bay or Toronto, has a pitcher whose last name is Hu. W-W-U. And my wife has no interest in sports whatsoever, but every once in a while she'll ask a question. So she said, who's this guy coming in? I said, yeah, who? And she goes, no, who's the pitcher that's coming in from the bullpen? I said, who? And it was like an Abbott and Costello routine, and she was getting so mad. She goes, this is why I don't like sports. You never give me a serious
straight
answer.
Right.
So I said, okay.
Well, you get that in politics too, don't you?
All the time. I mean, especially here in our great city of
that's right.
of Saratoga. You never get a straight one. Anyway, for those that are joining us for maybe the second, third, or fourth time, and those who are just joining in today, last year, the Mayor Yepsen appointed a commission, well-rounded, very knowledgeable, to look at this charter that we had, a commission form of government. They decided that the direction to go for the size of our city, the budget number that we have, is to go for a city manager, mayor, council form of government. Well, that got voted down by 10 votes with over 9,000 ballots casted. Soon after the mayor was sworn in, she appointed another commission. And this time, the direction was to revise the current charter. Well, I'm going to have Pat jump in here, but before he does, I want to say something. I like Meg Kelly, who is our mayor. However, I think she has a flaw. And the flaw is that she stood behind the effort so much last year when she was running for mayor of changing the form of government, because she had experience with the commission form of government as deputy mayor. And instead of, after the first of the year when she was sworn in, to try and help the group get a recount of the TIF files from the county, who would not give us, or the commission, a chance to have a recount, she instead appointed another commission to study the current charter. My feeling is that she knew she was going to get a raise if the charter was changed to a city manager. It didn't happen, so she created a commission, and I think the motive behind that was she felt that she was going to get another raise.
Well, I also think I understand that but I also think it was the only option to block a citizen-led petition effort. I mean, that was the only thing that could have stopped the former commission to put that ballot back on, because the numbers have grown significantly just in the last 10 years of every time this comes up for a vote. More and more people are voting to change the form of government, and this group, this inside job, as they're called, has done, and that was the only way that could prevent a citizen action group from putting this back on the ballot. So, you know, raise or no raise, I still have the motives, I think, were well calculated. I firmly believe that she was pressured into doing this, but she's a grown woman. She could have easily said no.
Right. And you know what, Pat? We're very good friends, and I can agree to disagree with you, and that's the greatest thing in the world. But you do make a lot of sense. However, I think a little effort could have been put in to help nod the prod the county to do a recount, for crying out loud.
That's, to me, the greatest injustice, simply because 50% of your people said yes, 50% of your people said no.
Right.
And with the fraction so small, it would be one thing if you got beat by a few percentage points or 5 points. In the past, they've been beat by plenty, thousands. Now, this one is literally, you know, a fraction of 1%. Right. And you're right, our leader should have said, listen, for everybody concerned here, let's make sure this decision is accurate. And I think the accuracy always comes into question when literally the county's refusing to, and which surprises me in this day and age, so, you know, refusing to do a recount because of, it's just all politics.
Yeah, and it's a computer file, so there's no more hanging chads go on. But anyway, let's...
What happened this week that was different than last week?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's TimeSaratoga.com's website and Saratoga Broadcasting's website has about 3 to 4 minute podcasts on it with different topics that citizens can go to and just get a capsule version, very important information, of what the charter is and isn't. That's one thing that I did. And the second thing is that there was a blog that our former newspaper editor for 30-some years, Barbara Lombardo, does. It's called Without Deadlines.
No, Done with
Deadlines. Done with Deadlines. Yeah. It's a fantastic blog. It really writes about everything. Yeah. I mean, Barb was always a great writer.
Sure.
But she did put a letter on her blog, very much informing people what it was about and telling them why they should vote no.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a good piece. I agree with you. That was between the mailers that came out. I think I know that It's Time Saratoga people were very disappointed to see the city put out what was basically a promotion piece rather than an education piece. So much so that Channel 6 called them on it and said, wait a second, guys, you know, this is an advocacy piece. This is an education piece.
Right.
And, oh, no, couldn't possibly be. But I was on that commission where we literally sent a black and white version of only the charter that we're asking people to vote on. And these same people that are spending probably $20,000 to put out that promotional piece are saying, oh, no, this is great.
Screamed.
But last year, they threatened that they were going to call the U.S. Postal Service.
Right.
And we were going to be this, we're going to be that. So, but either way, I think Barb's piece was right on target. Yeah. I mean, the thing that I take away was her first paragraph when she said, Saratoga Springs charter changes do little to improve city operation. Changes to Saratoga Springs city government are on the November 6th ballot. Saratoga Springs voters should vote no on both charter change positions on November 6th. And it really is, as you said, she's got 35 years of covering City Hall. She's probably the best expert when it comes to this, because all of us over the last 35 years have either just come to Saratoga or just born here or whatever, but she's really covered the ins and outs and has understood the political ramifications of all this stuff. So I really respect her opinion. I agree with her, obviously, but even she wrote about this mailing piece. These are from quotes from her blog. My concerns about the proposition were reinforced Saturday when I received what looks like an official city mailing that eagerly promotes approval of the changes with blatant, biased, and disputable claims about enhanced efficiencies and organizational improvements. And again, she goes on to say in other parts of it, just say this is not what it's claiming to be. And right. So bravo on that. As I said, I'm not quite sure. I mean, when you sit down and think about it, like here's politics. Now we're using podcasts, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
sure,
lawn signs. The normal politics methodologies have just changed so dramatically.
Well, it has. But, you know, on the other hand, this is how you have to get to a lot of people today. This is the format that they're using. I mean, even in our own federal and state politics, Twitter's the way to go. I mean, you can get a message instantly to millions of people.
Sure.
And, I feel bad for newspapers because I love newspapers.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, even if it's a well-subscribed to newspaper, when you get that paper in the morning, it's old news.
Yeah. I mean, we have a friend, mutual friend, that is not a computer person. He's not on the computer a lot. She does not subscribe to Facebook. She's 45 years old. You know, again, how do you reach her? We've got another friend. A friend was just over yesterday. She's 23 years old. She's the daughter of a friend of mine. She does not subscribe to Facebook. She does not get the newspaper. She's on her phone a lot.
Right.
And I said to her, how do I reach you? How do I get your message? She goes, Instagram or Twitter. Yeah. Other than that, that's all she goes, I get news flashes from NBC or CNN or somebody like that. But local politics, the only way you're ever going to get to me is
by
Twitter or Instagram. And you think back, where can you put content? You can't. There's not much content. But all you can try to do is drive them to your message, your image, so to speak.
And 10 years ago, you couldn't reach a tenth of the audience that you did today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you couldn't do it.
Well, It's Time Saratoga sent out one mailer. It came out fairly generic mailer urging people to vote no. But, you know, you see them on Facebook over and over and over again because that's the demographics. They have a Twitter account. They have a Instagram account. And it's how do you reach the younger people? Anybody under 30 or under 35, are they on Facebook? Probably not.
No.
You know, are they getting the newspaper? I mean, when I was doing First Night years ago in 1996, 97, Saratogian circulation was over 15,000, right? You know what it is today? Just over 2,000.
Yeah,
so
it's sad.
How do you get to people? I don't know. I mean, you know, I think people are disappointed to see these big ads on televisions and somebody accuses so-and-so and all that. But I don't know who's right or wrong here. It's those of us who are very active, we see all that stuff almost instantaneously. Right. Most people are, you know, they want to watch, you know, Survivor. They want to watch NCIS. They're not
Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah,
now you can go way back. Yeah. I mean,
so it's disappointing that you got to shotgun blast everybody with information in hopes that sometime somewhere they're hearing your message, and it hurts.
It really does, and you know, I've said this actually ever since I moved to Saratoga and paid attention. 2-year terms are a huge waste of money and resources. You're in office for a year. The second year, you're running for office. You're putting more signs out. You're spending a lot more money asking for donations from people. I think 4-year terms, even if they're staggered, are the way to go. I mean, too many. Every other year, you get blasted on TV with these political messages and all this. The lawns look like heck because there's signs all over the place. And Congress runs every 2 years. The assembly runs, our state assembly runs every 2 years. I think a 4-year term is
the
way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the Senate goes 6 years, which I think is too much.
Yeah.
Because you get some nut in there for 6 years, and it's hard to get them out, and they're building up a war chest. But anyway,
it's a difficult thing. But you know, basically, at this point, the other thing that surprised me this week, Rick, was how many former mayors have come out urging voters to say no. And you know, I look at that and say we've had a lot of good people serve as our mayors.
Right.
And, you know, Ken Klotz, who traditionally has always been against any kind of charter change.
Yes.
And he agrees with It's Time Saratoga at this point, and his quotes are pretty compelling, because he is respected by so many people. And you look at somebody like that, I don't know about you, but I get a lot of friends call me up and say, how should I vote on this? And when you get a guy like Ken Klotz to say vote no, mm-hmm. and when you're a guy that is urging people to vote no this time, it's very helpful to have Ken Klotz say that. I just want to share a quote that he put out there. It said, "These changes are not merely fine tuning. Buried among dozens of proposed amendments are major changes that I believe are undesirable. I'm voting no on both proposals." That's Ken was there back when the only charter revision was ever passed, and it wasn't about government. It was about the inside operational aspects of it. And Ken, I'm sure, would agree with me when I say those changes were never implemented, and they still aren't implemented the way they were intended
from
back
the
17
charter
years
change.
Ago.
No, they weren't. But one of the things that was implemented, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Ken always felt that the mayor's position was the weakest position in any form of government. All the mayor did was cut ribbons and marry people. And that 2001 charter expanded the role of the mayor to have certain duties and responsibilities, strengthen the position a bit. And this charter commission here have stripped the mayor, mayor's position of all those responsibilities and duties. And basically, I mean, she can still do some of the appointments, but it has to be ratified by the council. But they've basically stripped that position again. They say they didn't, but they did. And we're back to pre-2001.
Absolutely. I don't necessarily, you know, think it's a terrible idea that a lot of the people from the city council weigh in on some of the appointments. I can appreciate that. I understand that when you're mayor, the one that you elected, the mayor, you want that person to have as much power as possible. But when the other guy's mayor is in there, you get frustrated, especially like the land use boards. I served on the land use boards for almost 10 years, and I was appointed by Ken Klotz. Now, I'm not the same political party that Ken Klotz is, and I admire him for doing that because he wanted the best for government in that case. Would I have been approved by the rest of the council? Probably, but who knows? You don't know.
You never know.
So, I understand the appointments. Again, I think the cornerstone of all this is that those of us who are pretty active, you either think the commission form of government's the right thing to do, or you think it's the absolute wrong thing to do. There's
right.
no
and
middle ground.
In the scheme of things, I don't think the approval of the council is a bad thing. I really don't. I mean, you know, when you talk about this form of government being bad, it's like one of 28 in the country. And not, as you said before, not one government that's moved or charter that's moved away from the commission form to either a strong mayor or a city manager has ever gone back to a commission form. No. They may have swapped the city manager out for a strong mayor, but they've never gone back. So you're looking at between 25 and maybe 35 villages and cities. There's one large city, and I think the rest are kind of villages and towns that have a commission form of government.
Right.
And, you know, that it's I don't know. Anyway.
So, but you know, this is where I think It's Time Saratoga and all a lot of the groups are really encouraging people to say no. Just say no to these changes. They're not the right changes. They are, as Barb points out there, they are an inside job. You know, it's quite clear. And then when you see all these mayors, I mean, Val Keane's come out against it. Ken Klotz has come out against it.
Mayor
Ray
Watkins.
Watkins has come out against it. No one has, other than the existing mayor, whose commission this is, not one other mayor is coming out in favor of this. So you're sitting back like, okay, so really what are we talking about? So I'll take the four mayors that and five mayors. There's another mayor as well that's five mayors have
right.
said no. So,
well,
again, but
mayor,
how does that message get out there, Rick?
Right. Well, by either It's Time Saratoga or SaratogaBroadcasting.com, who puts up the answers to what this commission says.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember watching the meetings on the internet, and in the back of the city attorney whose wife is the chairman of the Democratic Party, but in back of the city attorney, who was the chairman of this commission, sat Dick Sellers, who is head of an organization that spent, well, I don't know how much money in trying to defeat the charter last year and in previous years. Now, here he is, not a member of the council, or the commission, but he's sitting right in back of the commission, and I think they probably had spent some money, you know, put money in for the different things for this commission.
Well, yeah,
and you know how can you be impartial when you're doing things like that, or you're making deals in the background to gain party support? You're not even being transparent enough to discuss it in an open meeting. You've got to make a deal behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this just goes to show you what you're going to deal with.
Well, you know, Rick, I mean, some of the highlights that, you know, you talk about on a regular basis. But, again, nobody really pays a lot of attention, unfortunately, to it. I mean, when you sit down and think about it, we're like, oh, we want to give our commissioners a raise. They only make $14,500. Well, again, foolish form of government, that's what's driving this, is you're asking people to come in and do more than a normal political leader in any other community in this country, for the most part. I mean, Albany, for example, you know, their council makes $9,800.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they don't get benefits. No benefits at all. Then you sit down and you think about it, our guys are getting 14.5 plus a $25,000 benefits package that they make absolutely no contribution to. That is a great deal when you think about being an elected official. There's no municipality in this state, none, that give part-time employees, which is what these folks are, the benefit package that they get. It's unconscionable. And then on top of it, after a short amount of time in office, they get those benefits for the rest of their life, for free.
But
how does that happen? You notice how, you know, we were talking about built-in efficiencies and so forth is what the charge of this most recent commission was about. They are not saving one penny Not one. And you know why the last commission had well over 200,000 in savings? They were eliminating the benefits. They were changing salary structures. But God forbid if you're inside City Hall right now, you don't want that to happen because it affects you. When in reality, what about the 27,000 people that live in this community that are going to pay taxes and are going to see a tax increase this year? I mean, it's just it's such an inside job. It's unbelievable.
And I've got two thoughts on that I want to get out, and this is according to an article written by Wendy Libitor, who's a frequent guest on here and is the Times Union reporter that covers this area. She had asked the chairman of the commission a few questions, but Mark Pingle, who is the organizer of It's Time Saratoga, it's a citizens group, said I've always said that Saratoga is a reactive community instead of a proactive or government, reactive instead of proactive, and this charter just beefs that saying up. And Mark said the larger issue is about a vision of how best to organize the city, not to preserve the past but to protect the future. And what they've done in going back pre-2001 charter is to preserve the past. They're not looking on how to better manage a ever-growing government with more that has more mandates every year, less income. And one of the things that I find really comical is they're splitting up departments and making their own departments. Human resource is now going under the city attorney's purview, but they show a no increase in.
You get to elect the city attorney?
No.
No, okay. So they now are going to be department head with no election process. They don't report directly to any person.
No. And human resource.
Because remember, those people all reported into an organization that had a full-time employee running the day-to-day operation, a la the deputy.
Right.
Now we've moved these people out from underneath that commissioner-deputy structure, which is provided. One of the people, the commissioner, was part-time. The deputy was a full-time person. So there was a reporting structure, which all of us have in our normal job. Now we're taking literally $1.5 million worth of employees and saying, you're going to report to five people who are here part-time and generally only here twice a month.
Right.
Wow.
Well, not only that, but I'm in the belief that the human resource department should be a standalone department.
Sure it is.
Should be its own, because there's quite a few things that had been going on in City Hall that needed human resource oversight and never got it. And now in the city attorney's being under the city attorney's thumb, what if the city attorney turns out to ethics violation? Is a human resource person going to bring her boss into the...
Rick, what's even a bigger tragedy is inside... If you think about how many lawsuits this city is involved with, I mean, it's easy to see the ones that are focal. They're out there all the time. But with the vast majority of the legal procedures against the city are employees. And so you'd sit down and you think about it, like, why aren't we, you know, having a stellar HR organization? Instead, it's all politically driven. And until we get out of that, you're going to get these people that are, you know, feeling they've been like Mary Zlotnick and people like that that have filed and won a large amount of money, but we can't talk about that. So there's the lack of transparency is really ridiculous.
And it's going to get worse.
I talked to Wendy Libitor about it. I said, how much is this whole, it was sad to see City Hall struck by lightning. There's a phenomenal amount of damage in there. This is the time that they're going to make some upgrades and all this kind of stuff. And I said, how much are they going to spend? She goes, well, I guess Mrs. Madigan went on television and said it's going to cost $7 million. And I said, well, how much is insurance paying? $3.5 million. So where's the other $3.5 million coming from? The taxpayers.
That's
we're
going
to bond the money. But when you ask what kind of improvements, they won't tell you.
No.
You have to foil that.
Yeah.
How does that work? Why would you have to foil information about your own property?
And taxes that you're going to have
absolutely.
To pay. Well, one of the things that I wrote to the commission got kind of a silly answer back, but and silly answer means kind of stupid silly.
Yeah.
About the financials. They put a set of financials out, and every line item was zero. Now, you're not going to change, make all these changes, and not spend a penny.
Or save a penny.
Save a penny. And I was told by someone on the commission that if they could not figure out how much they were going to have to spend, they would put zero instead of an estimation. Now, here's the other thing, and here's the way that we could have gotten more revenue back that was taken away a few years ago by Commissioner Scirocco. We had what they call a water hookup fee. Every time a new building, condo building, business hooked into the water, it created a $3,500 per unit hookup fee. The money went for infrastructure, because Saratoga's infrastructure, believe it or not, how nice it looks on top, is the exact opposite if you turn the city upside down. Commissioner Scirocco, Commissioner Finance Madigan, wanted to eliminate that. So Commissioner Scirocco stood up at a meeting. I don't even think they had a public hearing on that. Stood up at a council meeting and said, I propose a motion to eliminate the water hookup fee. And it passed.
Well, wait a minute. You know, he eliminated the water fee by himself first.
Okay.
And then they realized that the attorney general would be like, you can't do that. So they passed the motion. So, you mean, there was already happening. There's a couple instances. I think of the city engineer did something, and it was, you know, obviously in violation of state law. So the next thing you know, the friendly council just put this in place.
And we lost over $1 million on that deal.
Well, on one particular water hookup fee. I would tell you, in the last few years since that's been in place, I bet you we've lost $8 to $10 million.
I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I mean, there's building going on every
Oh, yeah, think about it. But again, that's the kind of stuff that happens with this. I mean, the transparency in City Hall is as clear as mud.
Right.
It's horrible. When you try to get any information, you've got a foil. It's going to take 3 to 4 weeks if they, in fact, respond. 9 times out of 10, they don't even respond.
They don't even respond.
But there's nobody there to say, no one's held accountable.
Who do you go to?
No.
That's what I want to know. I've never known who to go to.
Well, I had a great friend of mine call me up. She's like, Pat, they're going to have this big, huge thing taking place out on the edge of Saratoga Lake by the bridge in Saratoga. And I can't get anybody to tell me what it means. You know, zoning laws, all this kind of stuff. And that's that part about no representation, Rick. You know, you're sitting there going, okay, I've got this major development happening within eyesight of my own property, and I can't get anybody to tell me in City Hall, you know, what I can do to learn about this. And you sit back and you think about it. But people are used to this stuff. I don't know why, but people are used to getting nothing at a City Hall. We always say, oh, it's a great city. And it is, not because of City Hall. It's because of people like you and me and everybody that's volunteering and participating and contributing and so forth. That's that social consciousness. That our business people downtown that keep the shops going and the restaurants of good quality. But it's not because we got the commission form of government.
No.
I asked a person the other day. They said, well, you know what? I said, how do you feel about this vote? And they're like, well, it's not that bad. It can't be that big a deal, right? And I said, it is. I said, what's your biggest pet peeve, you know, in your personal life? And they said, you know, workforce housing. I said, we still don't have it. I said, you know, what about truck traffic? We still have no solutions. And it's because we talk about stuff. We don't solve it. What have we solved?
Well, we don't solve anything. And you talk about workforce housing. The Saratoga is a tourist community. It's a tourist-attracted community. And in these communities, we have a lot of service workers who make very little pay. They cannot afford to live in Saratoga. They can't afford to live in Wilton. And they can't – Boston Spa is getting there. But so wherever they live, they have to travel into Saratoga to be a dishwasher or a cook or – a waitress, and so they're spending gas money. Now, Saratoga, this has been going on for 20 years, people, 30 years. This hasn't been anything that's been just come up in the last 2 years, and they have not addressed workforce housing. Now, built affordable housing, but affordable housing is $1,800 a month rents. And that's based on someone earning between $50,000 and $90,000. And that is not affordable housing to a busboy or a waitress to pay for rent.
You know, but let's move on to a different topic. I had a friend of mine, a senior citizen, that I was given a ride to downtown, and I had to drive down Broadway three times to eventually find a parking spot where this person, it wasn't about me walking, it was about this person walking from our car to the restaurant. Parking is terrible. Mm-hmm. And it's been terrible since the dawn of cars, I'm sure. However, we got out of the car, and this guy made an observation it's a refreshing observation. He looked down, he said, between every one of these cars, there's 4 to 5 feet in between each car. And he said, we could probably get another 15 cars in this one block if there was just painted spots. Right. But you know why we don't have painted parking spots on town? Because there's two different departments that have to cooperate to get that done.
Sure.
I mean, who's going to pay for it? That's the only thing that holds us back.
Whose budget is it?
Yeah, whose budget does it come out of? If it came out of one budget, we're good. But because you got public safety on one side, you got DPW on the other side. So they'll never see parking spots. My daughter took her driver's test in Boston Spa. Guess what Boston Spa has?
Parking spots.
Yeah. Go to Glens Falls. What do they have?
Parking spots and bicycle lanes on Main Street.
Yeah. What does Albany have? Parking spots.
Yeah.
Troy, parking spots.
Gee whiz. Do you think that would be a progressive thing?
No. With the commission form of government, we can just keep these archaic things, and they just seem to work themselves out.
I'm going to take time, Pat, to do some public service announcements. Hope they play.
Aren't we doing that right now,
public service? Yeah, we are.
Come on now. It's a whole hour's worth of public service.
And we'll be right back, people, with more. And, you know, if you want to call, 518-580-5783, 518-580-5783. Give us a call, and we'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
Seven thousand high school students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. So here's a 26 second message of encouragement.
Hey, I'm Matt. I know, sometimes you think no one cares if I finish high school, right? Well, I do. Me and thousands of people you've never even met. Okay, here's the thing. When you graduate, you have better opportunities to make more money, have a cool job, you know, just have a better life. So the next time you need a little support, a little motivation, just know there are a whole lot of shoulders for you to lean on. So stay in school and graduate.
Do you have 26 seconds to convince a student to stay at their desk? Now you can share your message of support at boostup.org. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The 9/11 memorial is for the 343 firefighters who didn't make it.
It will honor my lost partners and the officers who responded that morning.
It's for my brother. He was everyone's best friend.
For my husband who never came home.
And the first responders who saved my life.
It's about hope for the future.
So we always remember September 11th.
It will heal our community.
Show the world that we can rebuild.
That we are united.
And that we are strong.
Because the best of humanity can overcome the worst hate.
It's for all the heroes like my dad.
This is Robert De Niro. This year, as we open the 9/11 Memorial in New York City, we ask that you join us to honor, remember, and reunite. To learn more or to reserve your visit, go to 911memorial.org.
Brought to you by the 9/11 Memorial and the Ad Council.
I want to finish and then go to be able to and have my parents couldn't have. I'll even make because I know it's the best.
Okay, we're back. And Pat Kane and Rick Thompson are your co-hosts this morning on Talk Saratoga. And we're glad you're here visiting us this morning. We do have some information on the charter, and we'd like to discuss it with you. If you have any questions that you'd like answered, give us a call, 518-580-5783. And we're here at WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. Pat, one of the other, it's a question two. There's two questions on the ballot. Question one has, do you want to reform the charter, current charter? Number two is, do you want to create two extra positions on the council to make it a seven-member council, which is a little disingenuous, I think, because you won't have a seven-member council. We're going to have five council people, four commissioners and a mayor, and we're going to have two junior council people who don't have the responsibilities that the commissioners have as far as legislative duties and administrative duties. To my knowledge, they cannot do any administrating. They can't go in any department and have someone maybe they have gotten complaints and they need leaves picked up, and they can't go in and make a suggestion to DPW and say, look, I got a complaint. Leaves need to be picked up on Geyser Crest area. But they can vote on issues that come before the council. Now, to me, this makes absolutely no sense at all. Mm-hmm. You have two classes of representatives now. You have your elected five-member council, and then you have two junior council members not having all the duties that the other commissioners have.
I went to I'm glad you brought this topic up, because this junior varsity move is more like a Bush League move, because these two people will have only legislative authority, right? And they're going to get to vote on things. They have no employees. They have no office. They have no budget. They are just designated based on being elected. Now, here's what I just learned this week, and I learned it from the commissioner, or I should say the chairperson of this most current commission. I was invited to attend a neighborhood, presentation by the commission. So I went there, and the city attorney was there. His name is Vince, and the head of the deputy of finance was there. His name is Mike. So the two of them are explaining. And so they were getting peppered by expense questions. And, of course, this is 000 is what they kept saying. Finally, one of the guys said, well, if you put these two new people in, there's expense there. Yeah, but it's minimal. They'll only get $14,500. And the fellow said, what about benefits? Well, they'll only get benefits if the council approves them for getting benefits. So, Rick, what that means is the five people that are, granted by God, apparently, to get benefits, they're going to keep theirs, but then they're going to decide whether the junior varsity gets benefits. Those five people are going to decide what the other two people. So when someone says this is a junior varsity, you're exactly correct. These two people who might go in under that second ballot question, they're going to be held hostage by the other five.
Right.
And it's just, I wonder what would be said. Maybe we should do that after this election. Could we get all of you to not collect health care benefits? I mean, John Frank's going to get his forever because he's already been in it. Skip was a longtime city employee. He's going to get his.
Well, yeah, he's already locked in.
But, Meg, you look at some of these other people that are getting $25,000 for free.
Well, you got Michelle Madigan.
They're going to get it for life.
Up one more term. Madigan will have it for life.
I wish they'd had that same question. Instead of, should we give the two new guys or people benefits? Well, that's those five people. Let's forget about the people that elected them. I mean, but they don't have the courage to put that in the proposed charter that they in fact will get that, because that's a big number to absorb.
Sure it
because
is.
These guys are afraid to say there's no expense. They're I can't say. Oh, we don't want to talk about an increase in expense. So they have been silent on expenses. Certainly, sure. They've also been silent on savings because they can't significantly
come up with any
show
savings
anything.
No,
of course not.
No.
Because the only significant savings that you could guarantee is the elimination of benefits for city council.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because back then we were, I was heavily into, as you were, the citizens advocacy group of changing the form of government. We didn't have a commission. You can multi-think. I can't. Scott Johnson was mayor, and I was going up every council meeting saying that he was subverting the citizens' right to vote by, we had the signatures, we had everything laid out by law, and we wanted the, on the ballot, we wanted the our proposal, and he wouldn't put it on. And he said that he was representing, both sides, all the citizens of the city. And I said, well, then the best way to do that is to put it up for a vote. Let them vote up and down, yes or no. But anyway, I thought at that point that he eliminated benefits for life for city council members. I think it was who had served 10 years or more.
That's correct.
But John was grandfathered in because he had already been in for 10 years. So he would get the benefits, but no other commissioner other than Scirocco because, well, I don't even know if he was on the council then.
He was not.
He was not on the council then. But he's in anyway because his 34 years of being a city employee. So that's understandable, but I don't know how they got back to benefits for life. It must have been a
It used to be 20 years, and they reduced it to 10.
Okay,
which still is difficult because in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of people have the stomach to be in the commission form for government for five terms. But we're seeing with voter apathy, you had 60% of the offices were unopposed.
Right.
So it isn't all that hard to get an office inside the commission and stay there for a long time because no one wants those jobs.
Right.
And so ultimately, you know, the people don't really get a chance to vote someone in or out because many of these places don't have, or many of these positions don't have opposition.
No.
So you're right. It's a very complex issue, and it's such that, you know, again, go look around other cities. Does Glens Falls provide healthcare benefits for their council? No. Does Albany? No. Does Troy? No. Does Schenectady? No. You know, pick a city. There is not one city in New York State that I could find that paid their part-time city officials the wages that ours get and healthcare benefits.
Yeah.
Again, not everybody's got the commission form of government,
right,
both here in the state and across the country. But still, if this is...
But see, this is where the transparency issue comes in. You know, we have a council member, Commissioner Madigan, who espouses that we're the most transparent government in this side of the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And we're not.
Of course.
And part of it is her office.
Well, transparency. I mean, the Times Union did an article that our commissioner of Department of Public Works, his son was arrested for DWI. He's, number one, still has a job. And number two, he's being driven around so he can do his job.
Right. And that was only put into one newspaper, which is an Albany or Capital District newspaper.
Sure.
But it's got a lot of circulation. I mean, we
But imagine, now, Rick, I'm not good on those word problems that we all had in high school. But imagine two men get out of, you know, start their day getting into two vans and have duplicate jobs, same jobs. They get two people, two vans, driving opposite directions around Saratoga Springs, installing water meters.
Right.
One man job.
But
so now
these
got,
two guys
now these
getting
two guys
in
one van, and that's more efficient. I mean, that is to me called, you know, it's political patronage.
Right.
If that was your son and not Commissioner Scirocco's son, your son would be out looking for work right now because he wouldn't be working for the city.
And it would be plastered all over the news everybody knew it.
Of course.
Now, the other thing I find wrong with that.
Wait a minute. You know what that's costing the taxpayer right now? Well over $100,000 a year to have a chauffeur drive Mark Scirocco around the city installing water meters with the other guy that installs water meters. So we're only getting to half the number of water meters. We're spending a lot of money to drive a kid around instead of saying, tough luck, Charlie. You no longer can perform the duties of this job
that's because
you no longer have a valid New York State driver's license.
But his father will give him a desk job. I mean, he won't have to worry. But here's again, here's another reason, again, while I think human resources should be their own department, because that should not still be controlled by Skip Scirocco. But it is. It's his father, and he's the commissioner of that department, and he's still controlling. Human resources should have gotten that right now. As soon as it happened, it should have been taken out of his father's department, put into human resources to take care of, do the background check, make sure his license. You have to do the abstract of his license to see if he has any other deficiencies on there. I mean, I was told the other day that, and I like DPW workers, believe me, they do a fantastic job. I mean, they got reduced because of budget cuts years ago. They could be increased now, but the commissioner refuses to do that. But they work, they really work. But a lot of them don't have the proper licenses that to give them the right to drive the big vehicle. Some of them don't even have driver's licenses.
There was a young lady shortly after this whole Mark Scirocco fiasco was on out in public. There was a fellow who had, again, the city's automatically notified, but just so you know, they have a subscription through DMV that they're notified that people have the type of license or our license are revoked. So someone knew this, but there's a fellow there who was coming down, I think, Division Street or whatever, in a big truck, plows into a young lady who stopped at the traffic light, plows into her, damages her car, she's got physical ailments and whatnot. And you sit down and you think about it. This guy was fired the next day or that week, right, because he didn't have his license. But people knew that. They just ignore those kinds of things because they need these guys out there driving.
Sure.
So there's people that are putting the city at risk. Now, let me ask this question. Did you ever hear about any damage? You know, did the city repair this woman's car? Did they pay for her doctor bills? Is she going to sue the city? I know I would if a city vehicle plowed into me like that, especially when they supervise an employee to drive a vehicle without a license.
We don't hear that.
Oh, that's
because that's all done in a closed door session.
Yeah.
And we never hear anything about the outcome, how much the taxpayers. Well, they say, well, the insurance company takes care of it. Well, what happens when, let's say you get in an accident, it's your fault with your car. Your insurance takes care of it, right? But what happens to your insurance?
Goes up.
The premiums rise. Now, extrapolate that out to every time an accident happens with the city and insurance covers it, the premiums go up. And there's accidents probably every other day. Mm-hmm. And all we hear is the insurance covers it. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who used to be on the city council up in Glens Falls. He lived up there. He's born and raised here, but lived up there for a short period of time. And in that time, he's politically active and one of the council members there in Glens Falls. And so I was talking with him recently, and I said to him, how do you decide what should be out as far as information is concerned? And he goes, well, give me an example. I said, lawsuits. And he said, it's public record, but the city up there, the city council, unless it's involved in a personal employee dispute, which you'd imagine would be, it's off limits everywhere.
Sure.
But he said, you know, lawsuits, they have to be discussed. It's expending the taxpayer dollar.
Sure.
If it had some medical issues, you know, the HIPAA and whatnot, you'd have to be quiet about
it. But things that have to be confidential.
We don't talk about the lawsuits.
Well, and look, I want to let our listeners know that, you know, we love Saratoga, and a lot of this stuff happens in other cities. We realize that this is not generic to Saratoga, but you know, we have an antiquated form of government that doesn't allow for some of these things to remedy themselves or have the council remedy them. And this is what was tried to go through last year, was to plan for the future, to keep up with all the demands from state and federal governments on cities today. And it's just not happening. And we sit back on our haunches and wait for our elected officials to do things.
Yeah.
And I don't envy them the positions they have. Don't get me wrong. It takes a special person to be on this council, I'll tell you. And
but speaking
go ahead,
of elected officials, I mean, again, let's go back to the point about the mayors. I have, other than Meg Kelly, there's not one mayor that's come out in favor of this charter revision. Not one, other than Meg Kelly. Many, many, many mayors have come out against it. Again, speaking of elected officials, I read a quote to you about Ken Klotz earlier. Ray Watkin, who was here in the 70s as well, has been a vital member of our community. His quote was, "Let me be clear. This is not the same charter proposal that nearly passed and that I enthusiastically supported a year ago. For those city residents looking for greater accountability and efficiencies in city government, this proposal offers neither. Please vote no." Val Keen wrote us a note that said, "The 2018 charter review was flawed from the start. Extremely undesirable. Never in New York State history has a charter commission been comprised of totally paid city employees. These drastic changes are misleading and inaccurate. Vote no, Val Keen." And I think one of the more recent mayors, her quote is Joanne Yepsen said, "For numerous reasons, I will be voting no on this year's proposed new charter for Saratoga Springs. The approach, membership, and proposed changes that will be on the ballot are very different than the 2016-2017 commission. This year, the makeup of the commission included no members of the community. Instead, the City Hall Internal Committee crafted a constitution that perhaps accomplished political inside trading, but not what's best for our great city and us. Our city deserves a charter we can be proud of. Vote no."
Now, these are former mayors.
Former elected mayors that worked inside there.
And some of them were against any charter changes in the past. But, you know, I also want to say, when we talk about the makeup of the council, not only are the commissioners on the commission, but their employees.
Absolutely.
They're appointed employees. The deputy commissioners are sitting on that commission. And I want to ask anyone that is employed in a business, in your boss's office, if you have, you know, maybe you have five supervisors and they call you in with their five subordinates. And they're talking, and you've got to make some important decisions, and your supervisor says, "Well, I think this is the way we're going to do it." Now, are you going to say to your boss, "I think you're crazy. This is the way we should be doing it"?
Yeah. Do you know there is not one city council member that's out of office at this point? Not one city mayor that's out of office at this point has supported this charter change? Not one.
Well,
not one. In fact, we've got people that are taking the time to write letters to the newspaper. Not one former city council member has said this is the way to go. Not one former mayor has said this is the way to go. So tell me, people, why are we going this direction?
I want to tell you, I was in the grocery store the other day, and a former deputy mayor and deputy public safety commissioner came up to me and gave me a hug and said, "Thank you for what you guys are doing."
Yeah.
And she said, "I hope next year you can see fit to start discussions again." And I says, "Well, you know, we appreciate it. I mean, it seems like we're going around this every year."
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot of people in the community that really want changes to pave a way for the future.
Yeah.
Not open up roads from the past.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of the past, I mean, the last charter commission that I sat on, which is a year ago, you know, one of the big Achilles heel that we all said we had was that the opposition said, "You haven't talked to the employees." Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we did. In fact, we talked to more employees than they did. The problem is those employees could not and would not say anything negative publicly for fear of retribution from their elected officials.
And your commission did have them answer anonymously.
We had them. Well, I interviewed all of the deputies, including Meg Kelly, who was the deputy
mayor
at that point. And everyone was like, thumbs down. The commission form of government doesn't work here.
Let me ask you a question. We've got to get going to put the polka magic on. Is there any thought that you want to leave everybody with?
Vote no Tuesday.
Okay.
Vote no. Both proposals really stink.
Right. And I've got the same sentiment. And I also want to thank everybody for listening these past 4 weeks, and next week we'll have a guest because of Veterans Day coming up on Saturday, no, Sunday. We'll have a guest on something to do with military. So everybody have a great week. Remember Tuesday to vote, and it's also you're voting on State Assembly, State Senate, National Senate, and National Congress. And the only one in the state that's up for election in Senate is, unfortunately, Kirsten Gillibrand. But we won't say anything more, and you guys have a great weekend. Vote no.